All right, can you all hear me? Let's take our Bibles, if we could, and open them to the book of 2 Thessalonians, chapter 2 and verse 3. As the title of this session is Apostasy or Rapture. Apostasy or Rapture. And notice, if you will, verse 3, notice what Paul says. Let no one deceive you in any way, for it will not come unless the apostasy, Greek noun apostasia, comes first, and then the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction. This was probably one of the most controversial views I've taken on anything, really. And it's engendered an awful lot of antagonism. Some of it I've been sort of surprised coming from alleged fellow brothers and sisters of Christ, a lot of the uncharitable things that have been said about me personally. And so the only reason I bring you up is I want you to realize we're entering here some dangerous waters. And before we get into this, let me give you a little better background on 2 Thessalonians. Paul had planted the church there in Thessalonica, and the unbelieving Jews had forced him out. And after they forced him out, he made his way to Corinth ultimately. This crowd of unbelieving Jews turned on, like wolves, they turned on Paul's fresh or new converts there in Thessalonica. And so by the time Paul gets down into Corinth, this would be about AD 51, about 6 months to a year later, he writes to this struggling flock that is having so many problems. And the letter that he writes to them is 1 Thessalonians, and then very close after that he writes 2 Thessalonians, a two-book companion set. And you see the problem. Ron read the passage, verses 1 and 2, is there was a forged letter that had entered the ranks there in Thessalonica, Paul's church that he planted that's having so many problems. And the letter basically said the day of the Lord has started. So these were folks that thought, based on this forged letter, didn't come from Paul, came from some other source, that they were actually in the tribulation period itself. And so you can see the confusion in these people. Paul wrote to them that letter, verse 1, or referred to that letter, I should say, verse 1. And he had originally taught them that they would be exempted from the tribulation period. That was his original teaching to them. And now because of this letter, they thought they were actually in the tribulation period itself. And this really bothered a lot of them because it contradicted what Paula had originally said. It was causing tons of confusion because these were new Christians. They were being persecuted by unbelieving Jews, the same unbelieving Jews that had turned against Paul. And so you can see how their very young Christian minds drew wrong conclusions from a forged letter, and they thought they were in the tribulation period. And you say, well, what's wrong with these people? Why don't they just go home and read the New Testament? Well, there's a little problem with that. We don't have a New Testament yet. We just have, at this point in time, three letters of Paul, and maybe Matthew's gospel had been written by this time. So the New Testament canon was just forming. You don't have any systematic theologies right now. There's no Awake to Israel conferences to go to get straightened out on these things. And you throw in the issue of forgery, and you could see why they were so bothered. And so what Paul does in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 is he says to them, you're not in the tribulation period. Because if you were in the tribulation period, you would see five things happening. Do you see those things happening? No, we don't. So you can't be in the tribulation period. So what are those five things? Number one, the apostasy, verse 3. Number two, the advent of the lawless one, or the Antichrist, verses 3 and 4. Number three, the removal of the restrainer, verses 5 through 7. Number four, the destruction of the Antichrist, verses 8 and 9. And number five, the destruction of the Antichrist's followers. Paul says, unless you can see those five things coming together in concert, you can't say you're in the tribulation period. Now, the part of this that we're focused on in this session is verse 3, the apostasy. When you come to this Greek noun apostasy, there's basically two views of this. The majority view is that apostasy, and the noun is only used twice in the New Testament. The majority view is this is being used the same way it's being used in Acts 21 verse 1, where Paul was accused of drawing people away from the law of Moses. In other words, the majority view is people think this is talking about some kind of spiritual apostasy, a spiritual departure. Paul says, have you seen the spiritual departure yet? No, we haven't. So therefore, you're not in the tribulation period. And most Christians, that's probably the only view they know. And what I'd like to share with you in this session is another view on this. The second view is when Paul uses that Greek noun apostasia, he's not talking about a spiritual departure. He's talking about a what? A physical removal. In other words, apostasia here is being used as a synonym for the rapture. That's how the verb, as I'll be showing you, is consistently used throughout the New Testament. More on that later. And you say, well, who cares? I mean, why are you going to devote 45 minutes to an hour talking about this? Why does it matter? Well, here's why it matters. And here's why the view that I'm sharing has engendered so much hostility. As you probably know, there's a big debate on the rapture. Amen? The timing? Pre-trib, our view, we're raptured before the tribulation period. Mid-trib, folks are raptured in the middle of the tribulation period. Post-trib, folks are raptured at the end of the tribulation period. Now we have pre-wrath. Folks are raptured basically three-quarters into the tribulation period. And then partial rapture, which means when the rapture happens, God's only coming back for the believer that's really living for Jesus. And I notice that everyone who teaches that thinks they're going to be part of the group that's going. But I think when the rapture happens, a lot of people are going to go up kicking and screaming. Because the rapture is part of a grace package that God gives us. It's not given on the basis of works. So here's what these views look like in terms of chart form. And I won't go through that again because we went through a lot of that last night. But here's why it matters concerning the apostasia and how it's interpreted. You'll notice what 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 3 actually says. The apostasia comes first. The Greek adverb for, not adverb, adjective for first is, I think, protos, meaning first. If Paul is saying the rapture comes first, if the apostasia is physical and not spiritual, then the debate is over. There's no more debate on the rapture. Because Paul has just taught that the rapture happens before everything else on that list. You see that? So if this physical departure perspective is in fact correct, then there really isn't anything left to argue about. The rapture will take place before the tribulation period even matters, begins, I should say, and the debate is settled. And that's why people who promote the perspective I'm going to promote in this session are demonized by those who believe that the church is going to go through some or all or part of the tribulation period. The other side, the other camp, knows what's at stake here in this issue.